Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, your host for the program, so happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, if you are listening to me today on Friday, January 22nd, it's the 48th anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade decision that sanctioned the murder of unborn children and left a deep, deep wound on our country, with the blood of the innocents continuing to flow daily. It's a day and a weekend of great sadness for us, a day of intense prayer and penance as we cry out to God and to His Mother, the patroness of our land, to show us mercy and to help get us out of this mess we are in. We need a change of hearts, and we can start with our own. When we allow the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to penetrate our heart, that divine conflagration destroys all sin and vice within, and then that flame of love can flow out freely to everyone we meet. May the prayers we offer and the penances we perform today help to facilitate this change of hearts and heal our culture. Well, I've got a special guest on the show with me today. My daughter, Alexis Seifker, will be joining me here shortly. I had Alexis on the show with me last June. She's a sidewalk advocate for life at 421 South College Avenue, and she does a lot of great work there, laboring to change hearts and minds, planting seeds, and hopefully saving some lives and souls in the process. I wanted to have her back on, especially on this anniversary of Roe v. Wade, to talk about how the pro-life outreach at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood is going and to share some of her experiences. Alexis has a gift for reaching out to the women and spreading that flame of love that is in her own heart to those around her who are most in need. Before I bring Alexis on with me, let's offer a simple prayer together, invoking the patroness of our land. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Right out of the gate, President Joe Biden partnered with Planned Parenthood on Inauguration Day in his Field of Flags display that was set up on the National Mall. The President's inaugural committee planted thousands of U.S. flags to represent the nearly 200,000 Americans who could not be present for the inauguration ceremony. The committee welcomed Americans to become a symbolic sponsor of the Field of Flags in exchange for a donation to its 96 partners in service, one of which included Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Donations were split evenly among the 96 charities, but the email addresses of everyone who made a donation were shared with Planned Parenthood and automatically added to their mailing list. And President Biden announced on Tuesday that an openly transgender individual was his pick as the Assistant Secretary of Health for the Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Rachel Levine, born Richard Levine, is currently the Secretary of Health for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where he has been criticized for leveling business and restaurant lockdowns and bans and allowing stable coronavirus patients to be returned to nursing homes during the pandemic. Levine interrupted a press conference last May, asking a reporter to not misgender him after the reporter addressed him as sir. He has also complained of multiple incidents of LGBTQ harassment and specifically transphobia. The day after announcing Levine as his choice for the Assistant Secretary of Health, Biden signed an executive order giving sweeping rights to men and women who want to live as the opposite sex, including allowing transgender individuals to compete in sports and making spaces like restrooms and locker rooms open to all individuals based on their perceived sex rather than their biological one. The Archbishop of Nancy Pelosi's home city of San Francisco, Salvatore Cordileone, took the House Speaker to task after Pelosi said that it gives her great grief as a Catholic that pro-lifers supported former President Donald Trump because of the issue of abortion and that they were willing to sell the whole democracy down the river for that one issue. Archbishop Cordileone responded responded by clarifying that Pelosi does not speak for the Catholic Church and that no Catholic in good conscience can favor abortion. Our land is soaked with the blood of the innocent, and it must stop, the Archbishop said. A new bill introduced into the Magnolia State's legislature would find anyone who performs or induces an abortion guilty of murder. Mississippi Representative Dan Eubanks wrote the bill that would also make it a felony for anyone to willfully cause an abortion. The new measure comes just as the U.S. Supreme Court is set to consider another Mississippi law that protects unborn babies by banning abortions after 15 weeks, except when there are risks to the life or physical health of the mother or fatal fetal anomalies. And finally, thanks be to God, no abortions were performed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. The U.S. bishops have asked all the faithful to pray and fast today on this anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and even over the weekend, if possible, for the legal protection of the unborn. A sidewalk Advocates for Life training will be going on this Saturday, January 23rd, so be sure to pray for all those who will be attending and that God will send many more workers to the fields there at 421 South College Avenue. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, on that fateful day, January 22, 1973, after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a Texas statute banning abortion, the procedure to kill unborn children in the womb was effectively legalized. By a 7-2 margin, the majority being Republican judges, the High Court held that a woman's right to an abortion was implicit in the right to privacy protected under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The U.S. National Conference of Catholic Bishops was quick to issue a statement, and that proclamation read, "The Supreme Court's decision today is an unspeakable tragedy for this nation. It is hard to think of any decision in the 200 years of our history which has had more disastrous implications for our stability as a civilized society." Prophetic words right there, I'll add in. The ruling drastically diminishes the constitutional guarantee of the right to life, and in doing so, sets in motion developments which are terrifying to contemplate. The ruling represents bad logic and bad law. There is no rational justification for allowing unrestricted abortion up to the third month of pregnancy. The development of life before and after birth is a continuous process, and in making the three-month point the cutoff for unrestricted abortion, the court seems more impressed by magic than by scientific evidence regarding fetal development. The child in the womb has the right to life it already possesses, and this is a right no court has authority to deny. Apparently, the court was trying to straddle the fence and give something to everybody. Abortion on demand before 3 months for those who want that, somewhat more restrictive abortion regulations after 3 months for those who want that. But in its straddling act, the court has done a monstrous injustice to the thousands of unborn children whose lives may be destroyed as a result of this decision. No court and no legislature in the land can make something evil become something good. Abortion at any stage of pregnancy is evil. This is not a question of sectarian morality, but instead concerns the law of God and the basis of civilized society. One trusts in the decency and good sense of the American people not to let an illogical court decision dictate to them on the subject of morality and human life. Well, a pretty powerful statement there, signed by the president of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops at the time, John Cardinal Kroll, soon after the announcement of the Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade on January 22, 1973. And of course, we know that the companion case to Roe, which was Doe v. Bolton, was handed down by the High Court later on that same day. It went further and legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. So, an extraordinarily sad day today for our country. And you've heard the statistic time and time again. Since Roe v. Wade, an estimated 60 million plus unborn children have been denied their inalienable right to life by being violently torn apart in their mother's wombs. Who could have ever fathomed the huge fallout of that day just 48 years ago? Not only do we have the lives of millions and billions, when you add in worldwide figures, of innocent unborn human beings targeted and executed, but we've also got massive collateral damage too, with millions and millions of women, men, families so deeply wounded and torn apart because of the devastation of abortion. Truly, the legalization of abortion has been like a nuclear bomb dropped on the family. The wreckage is all around us, and we must pray, do penance, and work for a culture of life and purity to be restored. Well, someone who has zealously taken up this call is my daughter, Alexis Seifker, and I've got her in the studio with me today. Alexis, welcome back to Pro Life to the Max. It's good to have you back, and I'm glad you weren't frightened away after the first interview.
Thank you.
Yeah. So first of all, tell us just how often you're down there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood and what you actually do there.
So I'm out there usually at least 4 days a week, sometimes five. On the days that they're open is when we try and do sidewalk counseling out there.
Okay. And when are those days?
Monday through Thursday, they are always open, and then they alternate between every other Friday and every other Saturday.
Okay, so what are you doing out there?
So we stand out, and we call out to the women as they come out of their vehicles. I usually start out saying, "Hi, my name is Alexis," and I just ask if I can talk with them and have a conversation. I let them know that there's some things I want to share with them, and so hopefully if they come over, then I ask them if they mind sharing with me what they're coming in for. And from there, I just try and start a conversation.
Okay, good. So we've got women, maybe men, going in there for not only abortion counseling, but for other things too, like STD testing, birth control, right?
Right.
And so depending on if they reveal why they're going in there, will depend on how your conversation then goes, correct?
Right, exactly.
And then do you have material to cover all those bases and kind of like thought it out what to say?
Yeah, there's many different brochures on those variety of different topics that we pass out there. And of course, that's also going to affect how our conversation is going to run, just targeting
right.
whatever their particular need is at the time.
Right. Do you get a lot of women to come over to you?
It varies. It almost seems like it kind of goes through phases. Uh-huh. Sometimes there's a lot who come over, uh-huh. and sometimes we can go through phases where almost none even.
Uh-huh. It's like you hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So how do you, since COVID, is it harder to get the women to come over and talk, do you think?
You know, you would have thought so, but in general, it hasn't really seemed to have affected it.
Uh-huh. Do you think they're missing maybe some of that, I'll even call it friendship, that human contact?
Yeah.
That perhaps maybe brings them over
right.
still? Yeah, okay. So, and also, how are the women, are they generally receptive to you? What kind of responses do you get?
A lot of them are at least, you know, trying to be polite and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, you can kind of see the things that you say, they really are starting to make them think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will shut down once they kind of know what it is, once they figure out what you're actually there for.
Uh-huh.
But in all cases, you know, at least we know we're planting seeds.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of seed planting.
Yeah.
So what if somebody's going in for abortion counseling, let's say, mm-hmm. and they happen to come over, can you tell us a little bit, what might you say to them?
Well, I'll just try and reassure them that, you know, there's hope for them. And I'll especially let them know, first of all, about the resources, the Women's Care Center that's right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll just ask them if they can, you know, share with me what it is that's driving them to this.
Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is just to empathize with them, right?
Right.
Because at this point, they are probably, I always say, they look like a lot of times they have a deer in the headlights look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're scared. And they don't need somebody just shouting at them, do they?
Right.
They need somebody to talk them off that cliff because it's like
exactly.
they're about ready to jump.
Yep.
Okay. To commit suicide, so to speak, right? They
yeah.
literally kill a part of themselves in their own child. So they need somebody that's going to be there to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of it can just be just listening to them even.
Yes, that's really important, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So besides all the women going in, too, do you ever speak with the people who are passersby?
Occasionally, some of them will stop and talk.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, there's angry people going by. Once in a while, if they're coming, like, straight down through the alley, maybe in some kind of vehicle, they'll be yelling something as they go by. And once in a while, if you call out to them, back to them, they will pause again, and then you can kind of get a conversation going. And
uh-huh.
a lot of the time, it can be really amazing to watch their demeanor change
once they find out that we're not there to just tell them they're evil and they're doing wrong, that we're there to love them and bring them to the truth.
Right.
Yeah. So do you have any stories that you can relay for us or experiences you had, they can be good or bad, about some of the people you were able to have conversations with?
Well, I remember one girl in particular who, when she got out of her car and I called out to her, she at first looked a little confused, like she was wondering who in the world I was.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of responded, and I just asked if I could talk with her, and she asked, "Are you pro-life?" And I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "Oh, wow, I didn't know there were actually people out here doing this."
So her whole worldview, all she knows is that abortion is okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I guess that she didn't even realize that there were people who cared enough about the issue, I guess, to
be out there.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So were you able to have a good conversation with her?
Yeah, she told me that she was coming in for STD testing, and so I was able to talk to her a little bit about purity and chastity, and the whole time she was just looking like almost a little bit dazed, and she was like, "Wow, I just didn't expect to hear this."
Because they never hear it from anybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, parents usually don't anymore. Most of them are all on board with the culture. Schools certainly not, right? And even churches, even if she happened to go to church, we just don't hear this message.
Right.
Yeah, and so they probably are kind of like, whoa, blown away.
Yeah,
so that's why it's important, so important that we are out there, especially I think as the times get tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about women who have maybe been going in for abortion counseling? Have you been able to talk to them and maybe change their minds?
Most of the conversations that I myself have had with women who have changed their minds have been a little bit more brief. There have been a lot of other sidewalk counselors who have gotten into more depth conversations like that with those women. But there have been, over the past few months, which has actually been a little bit more unusual for on the abortion day itself on Thursdays, there have been several women actually who have come out and just said, "I didn't do it," and they left.
It has been amazing lately. I know because I've been there too on Thursdays to see there have been several the past many Thursdays of women who don't go through with it. And we haven't even had an opportunity to really talk to them, have
right,
we? Yeah.
Right.
And so that's a big sign that just our presence, our peaceful and demeanor and love of just being out there in the cold, telling them, "Hi, we love you, we're here for you," has been probably enough for them to snap out of it and realize this is wrong, right? And that has been such a gift from God to see that. So there have been a lot of good things going on lately, despite the numbers that are increasing kind of lately there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on Thursdays. We have seen more than we have in a long time turning away on abortion day.
Yeah.
Now, just this past Thursday, we did have somebody, too, that had come in on a Tuesday for abortion counseling, and we had talked to her then, not a whole lot, but we were just basically letting her know we were out there, right?
Right.
Again, we want to help you in any way, and so she did go over to the Women's Care Center, but she was back on Thursday, okay? And we were able to have yet another conversation with her, this time a little bit longer one, okay?
Yeah.
And she said she didn't do anything, and whether she will or not still, we don't know, and we're hoping and praying for this woman. So all of you listeners, we ask for your prayers for this young mother of two who actually lost her husband a year and a half ago, and she was in another relationship. So she is really struggling. She knows better. And she even did say that she was going to start going back to church this weekend.
Yeah.
So we can pray for this and lift her up. So there is one, another good example of where she has not gone through with it. We pray that she continues to remain steadfast and just do the right thing. So, yeah. What about workers? Let's talk about workers. Are you able to reach out to them at all? Are they responsive? What do you think?
Well, at least on Thursday mornings, a lot of the time we will call out and just let them know that we're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
There, over the past couple of years, there hasn't been a whole lot of response from the workers. Mm-hmm.
But there has been a high turnover.
Yes.
Which is always good.
Yes.
So you know, once again, it kind of gets to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've seen a high turnover of workers, lots of new ones. And I always, we don't know their names. A lot of times I'd like to try to talk to them and get their names so I can pray for them by name. So it always is disappointing when we don't have their names. But we know them by vehicle and can lift them up to our Lord for the man and the, you know, and the such and such car. So, mm-hmm. so we're lifting them up. But it is more difficult, isn't it, to kind of, those workers get a hold of them. But I think yeah. with our constant presence out there, don't you think that they, it's got to kind of get to them? Like, why are these people
oh, yes.
out here every single day
yeah.
that I'm here?
Yeah, we see them looking out of the windows a lot.
Yes, we do, don't we? Right up top, they're always looking and wondering. And again, we just try to show them love. We are not there to shame them and to, you know, say, you are doing an evil thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, our presence already speaks volumes to all of that.
Right.
And we're to be just the face of Christ, right? Because he wants the sinner to come to him, and just like we do, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's just kind of talk in general, too. Have you seen any changes going on there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as a result of all of our sidewalk advocacy and prayer presence?
Well, I would say that over the years, you know, that with all the prayers especially, it just seems like you can really just tell a difference just with the way that people respond. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are getting off of the fence and going either to one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. That's probably true, isn't it?
Yeah.
We are definitely seeing that. It's kind of heating up now.
Yeah.
And you're being forced to choose sides, so to speak.
Right.
And I think in general, too, we see a lot of good, but we also see a lot of the bad.
Right.
And it's sort of like you get both sides here right
exactly.
now. Exactly. So the battle is heating up intensely, isn't it?
Yeah, because that can be the sad thing is
yeah.
seeing all the people who are coming down hard on the wrong side.
That's right. And their hearts are almost like hardening.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are very few in that middle.
Right.
And I always compare it to this earthquake, okay? Right? This is a cultural earthquake since the 1960s and even before. We're looking for any survivors in that mess, in that
yeah.
wreckage. We're going down, and we're looking for hearts that are still beating.
Mm-hmm.
And we find some, and
yeah.
it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. So what drives you, what motivates you in this work?
Well, I would say in the first place, just knowing that with every abortion, an innocent human being is intentionally killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that almost nobody in our society has really come to grips with. And that's really going to be a hard thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so we need to let that sink in.
Yeah.
Every abortion murders an unborn child, okay?
Right.
It's just the bottom line. And we let that sink in, that should call up a response from us. Not only
exactly.
that, it denies them the possibility of being baptized,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's an offense against the Creator himself. If we let those things sink in, that's got to motivate us, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the hardest thing about this apostolate, do you think?
Well, I would say it's seeing all the people who even maybe know that they are in the wrong spot, but they just don't want to take that effort to change.
It is, isn't it? And I have
yeah.
to say, that's one of the saddest things, too, for me. I know a couple weeks ago we talked with a young man, and he knew. He
mm-hmm.
knew it was wrong, okay? But it was just the easy way out.
Right.
And as long as abortion is legalized, it's that safety net to them, right? A lot
yeah.
of people are going to jump.
Yeah.
They are because it's there. But every time a woman does choose life, Roe versus Wade is overturned, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we can be thankful for that. So we really do have we're going to have a tough time getting Roe overturned and abortion ended, but all is not lost. So we just have to have unbounded confidence and trust in Almighty God and continue to do what we know we need to do. So, mm-hmm. you know, and in fact, in one of the messages of the approved Marian apparition of Our Lady of Good Success, and that was back in the early 17th century, Our Lady relayed how the faithful in these difficult times, which she had foretold would need great strength of will, constancy, valor, and confidence in God. Now, how important are these specific virtues in the work there, Alexis?
I would say that those four things pretty much nail it.
Sum it all up, doesn't it? Yes, and we just keep repeating those in our mind.
Yeah.
And it's true for any apostle at work right now, for whatever we're doing right now. Strength of will, constancy, in other words, have faith. Just as Our Lady, as she stood at the foot of the cross, it was her faith that carried the church In that Good Friday. Her valor, her courage, and confidence, unbounded confidence in God.
Right.
Okay, so Alexis, we are out of time pretty much. It always goes so quickly, so it wasn't too bad, was it? It went quick. So you are one of the Bloomington Sidewalk Advocates for Life here, just to tell everybody, remind that. We thank you so much for coming in today. I know it's not easy for you to do these interviews, and even probably not easy for you to even be out there on the sidewalks calling out to the women, because I know by your very nature you're kind of shy and quiet, but I think it's just further evidence that this is God's work, and He wants all He wants to do is to work through us.
Mm-hmm.
And in His mysterious economy, the weak is strong and the strong is weak. And in fact, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that God's grace is sufficient for us, for His power is made perfect in our weakness. He calls the ordinary to achieve the extraordinary. And also in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And that's all He needs from us, to work through us, our commitment to Him and that desire to please Him. Alexis, anyone who is around you out there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood can see that your heart is committed to Him, and that's why He's using you there. So thanks for all you're doing there as His instrument, and thanks for coming in today and sharing your thoughts on building up a culture of life and purity right here in Bloomington.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, the very first Pro-Life to the Max show, which we did all the way back on September 7th in 2018, we ended with a little audio clip from Peter Heck called "The Sound of Abortion." We're going to close out this program with that snippet again because it's very powerful and reminds us of the need to get down on our knees, repent, and beg God to help us end this war against the unborn.
Right where you are, I just want you to, right there in your seats, just shut your eyes. What you're about to hear are the sounds of metal BBs striking the side of a tin can. For every BB that strikes, it represents 10,000 lives lost in the wars of America's past. 10,000 lives for every BB. This is the reality of what is occurring in your country. The American Revolution. The Civil War. World War I. World War II. The Korean Conflict. The Conflict in Vietnam. September 11th and the War on Terror. Since 1973, the War of the Unborn Child. God help us.
Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.